أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أجمعين. Just to repeat from yesterday's درس, which was the different معاملات and the آفات that come into them that ruin them. The number four which was mentioned is ضبط الأوقات بالأوراد للحضور. Being strict in your timings and your schedule with the awrad, those things that you do in order to receive the help from Allah Ta'ala, and so that you can be present, be aware of time, so you can be present with Him Jalla wa'ala all the time. And so we didn't mention it last time, but the afa, the calamity of that is that a person use their time to study and look at books in order to pick out subtle and fine points so that they can share them with other people rather than studying for their own betterment or in order to have deeper understanding, thereby taking out time from something pointless and dedicating it to something useful, and then finding something pointless in the useful thing and making the whole thing a waste of time. So we continue. Shaykh Rahimahullah Ta'ala says, وَأُصُولُ مَا تُدَعْوَى بِهِ عِلُلُ النَّفْسِ خَمْسَةُ أَشْيَاءَ. And then he gives now five universal methods to treat the sicknesses of the nafs. The nafs has certain sicknesses in it that will prevent a person from making progress and prevent a person from doing the things that it needs to in order to make progress. So there's five things will help every salik in order to get the upper hand over his or her nafs. Number one is تخفيف المعدة من الطعام, eating less, pumping less stuff into your digestive system. This can include fasting, but if it does include fasting, it's not the type of fasting where you eat like pakoras and samosas when you're done. But it literally, it's done by lightening a person's food intake, which has many benefits in it that are physical, but it also has many benefits that are spiritual. So the deen and dunya are like two co-wives. If you make one of them happy, the other one will be upset with you. That's a saying. It's it may be a hadith. It's at least attributed to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that's what it is. It's like a marketplace. If people are buying Bitcoin, then what happens to the price of Bitcoin? It goes up. If people stop buying it, they stop caring what's going to happen, it goes down. And so the dunya is like that. The more you consume, the more valuable it becomes in your heart. The less you consume, the less valuable it becomes in your heart. And if the price of dunya goes down, it's necessary the price of deen will go up. Why? Because those are the two things. The transaction is between one or the other. So when you're buying, you know, if you have American dollars and someone else has euros, if the euro goes down, then you're even though it's something that happened independently, maybe in an absolute sense the price of the dollar stayed fixed, but your dollar went up when you go to Europe. It's the same thing. So a person should make takhfif al-mi'da min al-ta'am, eat less. And in Imam Ghazali's kind of like layout for tasawwuf, he says that there are two primary shahawat or carnal desires. One is for food and the other is the sexual appetite. And Ghazali says that the sexual appetite sits on top of the desire for food. So if a person physically intakes less food, then that one will also become weaker with it, even though it's qualitatively different, but it feeds off of it. So someone might say, well, Sheikh, I fasted for 3 days and nothing, no difference. The fast of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, I mean, they used to fast for a long time and they used to not gorge out in the middle and things like that. But trust me, if you fast for like a month or 2 months straight, you'll see that everything becomes calm in your disposition relative to what it was from before. Obviously, the solving of the problem of a person's other appetite other than food isn't through fasting. That's a last resort. People should get married and they should then, you know, whatever, indulge their desires in a halal way. But this is just in case a person is in some sort of difficulty or whatever. They should know this, the way the system works. So the first thing is what? That a person should lighten their food intake. The second, اللجوء إلى الله مما يعرض عنه يعرض عند عروضه. That a person should seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever something that a challenge that faces him. That to remember to do this, to not think like, you know, like I have to pay a bill, my money will pay for it. You know, my wife is angry with me, I'll buy her flowers and it'll make it better. I'll, you know, the bus is late and like I'm going to complain to the manager. You can do all of those things. And sometimes it's good to do all those things. It's a sunnah to do all of those things. But those are sunnah that we do just like you read two rak'ahs after dhuhr, right? The thing that gets everything done is what? Allah Ta'ala. And to not ask of him is bad adab with him, Jalla wa Ala. Otherwise, it's not your complaining doesn't fix things. And if you want an example of that, go to Hajj. People complain till they're blue in the face. It doesn't fix anything. And you have to trust in Allah Ta'ala, and things do work out. والفرار من مواقع ما يخشى وقوع الأمر المتوقع فيه. Fleeing from those places, places that you fear what happens there and the thing that's happening there. Meaning what? If a person, every time they walk into a bar, they end up having a beer, then maybe you should stop going to the bar. And this is very important. This is a very important precept in tasawwuf. If I were to write a book about tasawwuf, like one of the usul would be like, you have to use your brain, don't be an idiot. Because people think somehow like real spirituality allows you to behave like an idiot and everything works out. And that's how you know you're really a spiritual person. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala's help comes to a person because they're trying their best and like they slip up one time, so Allah Ta'ala won't let them fall. But that doesn't mean that you're supposed to whatever, put banana peels all over the hallway and Allah through it with your like blindfolded. It doesn't work. That's not, those type of people deserve to lose what they have because they're not taking care of it and they're not protecting it. I was in an interfaith dialogue one time. And a Christian guy came up and he goes, well, it seems to me that Islam has all these rules and Christianity, you know, and like tells you to avoid sin because of rules. Whereas Christianity makes you build up, you know, enough spiritual strength in your heart that, you know, you can like say no to sin. I'm like, yeah, that sounds really nice in theory, right? And it's something that when a person says it, they feel like almost drunk with like how amazing it sounds. I go, are you familiar with Alcoholics Anonymous? And he goes, yeah, I've actually been through the program myself. I would tell me, does Alcoholics Anonymous is a faith-based program, right? You probably took it in a church, in fact. He's like, yeah. I go, does Alcoholics Anonymous teach you that when like someone opens a can of beer in the room that you should have enough faith that you can reject it, or does it tell you to leave the room? He goes, it says to leave the room. I says, It's like, you know, it's like 90% using your brain, and then like 10% when you're stuck in a situation, then you should, Islam also teaches you should have enough faith to like turn away from sin. But, you know, you turn away one time, two times, three times, how many times are you going to subject yourself and just torture yourself and then say, oh, I have to turn away because of my whatever. So, yeah, that's part of the tasawwuf. It's part of using your brain. And just don't go there. Don't do it. You know, there are people, their like whole careers are like weird, like filled with sin and things like that. Look for a career change. Don't go there in the first place. It makes it easy. Otherwise, then people, oh, I've been working in the bank for 15 years, and like, Sheikh, what should I do now? And if I quit right now, then my mortgage and my house and my Okay, you're the one who got yourself stuck in all of these things. You know, I said, either extricate yourself from them or don't. I'm not going to change the Sharia to make you happy. Allah Ta'ala forgives people, so I'm not going to say that you're going to hell for sure. But, you know, don't cry now. You did something, you got yourself stuck in a really bad situation. You did it for years, you knew better. You can't expect someone to, like, the reality is not going to bend over backwards in order to conform to you. You're not Allah Ta'ala. So you have to run away from those things that you fear, and the places that things are feared, and the things that are happen that are feared in those places. Just run away from them. If you see them, just get lost. If you subject yourself to them, there's no nafs that's gonna survive that. If you subject yourself once and you make it, the next time you'll fall victim to it. If you subject yourself twice and then the third time, it's just a matter of time. There's no nafs that's immune to any of these things. So just stop going there. Because at some point, like, okay, fine, something happens. It's not your choice. It happened, right? But going back again and again and again, that's actually a choice that you're making. ودوام الاستغفار مع الصلاة على رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بخلوة واجتماع. Constantly seeking forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala and constantly making salat and salam on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while in seclusion and while in public. Both of them. Some people, like, they think that they're whatever, it should be completely undercover. That's not true. Both in public and in seclusion, both of them. A person, why istighfar? Because this person is so, a person has so many sins, and a person needs forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oftentimes, even spiritual afflictions, a person is trying to make themselves spiritually better, and there's no, it's not happening. This is also a punishment from Allah Ta'ala for our sins. Not all punishments happen in your material things. And this is one of the reasons Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his dua that Allahumma la taj'al fitnatana fi dinina. Don't punish us, put our punishment in our deen. If you must punish us, put the punishment in our dunya. Don't put it in our deen. So constantly seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the salat and salam ala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hikmah of it is that it's accepted by yaqeen. Why? Because when you say salam to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not your salam that's generating the spiritual effect. It's him responding to you and saying wa alaikum assalam to you. The salat, whenever you invoke blessings on him, Allah Ta'ala will invoke 10 blessings on you. And when you say salam to him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, wa alaikum salam to you. The message is taken to him by the angels, and he responds in person to you. And his dua for you has much more power than your dua for him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So because these two are the awrad of the akhru zaman, of the end of times, is constantly seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and constantly saying salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These two things, these two adhkar, the salik will receive a great madad and a great great help from Allah ta'ala from them. And the fifth is suhbatu man yadullu ala Allahi wa ala amrin ala amri Allahi wa huwa ma'dum. The fifth one is keeping the company of the one who will guide you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or point you in the direction of Allah ta'ala, or who will constantly remind you of the command of Allah ta'ala. And he says that there's so few, it's like there's no one left anymore. There are very few people like that. This is one thing, not everybody who claims to be a sheikh is a sheikh. And then even amongst the mashaykh, not all of the actual mashaykh are, you're going to be able to benefit from them. There are very few people. So if you find somebody, good for you. You should hold on to those people because they're not in great supply. وقال الشيخ أبو الحسن الشاذلي رضي الله تعالى عنه أوصاني حبيبي فقال لا تنقل قدميك إلى حيث ترجو ثواب إلا حيث ترجو ثواب الله ولا تجلس إلا حيث تأمن غالبا من معصية الله. It says, Imam Abu Hassan al-Shadli, rahimahullah ta'ala, who is the sheikh, like five links up in the tariqah from Sidi Ahmed Zarruq, who wrote this book. He's a native of Andalusia. He said that my beloved gave me five advices. One is not to move your feet to any place except for the place that you hope for reward from Allah Ta'ala. Think about where you're going and why you're going there. Not to move your feet except for to that place that you have hope for the reward from Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا تَجْلِسْ, and that you don't sit anywhere except for where most likely you'll be safe from Allah's disobedience. There's a place that there's a real possibility that you're going to disobey Allah Ta'ala, don't sit there. وَلَا تَصْطَحِبِ اللَّهِ مَنْ تَسْتَعِينُ بِهِ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, and don't keep friends except for those people who you seek help from them, from their presence in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. This is really important. People torture themselves keeping friends and think, oh, you know, well, it's da'wah and blah, 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 and the other thing. Keeping bad company is really annoying. And it doesn't, the annoyance of that doesn't decrease with your higher spiritual maqam. The bad effect of the company of people who have no deen, it harms everybody. And Mawlana Ilyas, rahimahullah ta'ala, the founder of Tabligh, when he used to go on Tabligh for the, I mean, now they have like all this, like I don't think 4 months even existed in those days. The longest people would go out is for 40 days. Most people would just go out for 3 days. Imagine that. And that was different than now. Now it's khair. It's all like whatever desi doctors and things like that who have desi engineers and uncles that have, mashallah, trained other people to think like them, and not all of them are completely doing the process properly, I should say, rather than going ethnic about the ishkal. But khair, that's my bad, astaghfirullah. The idea is what? Is that those were different days. Those were very simple people. They were very sincere people. But Mawlana Ilyas, still, just from mixing with the public, he would feel bad. So he would spend for every time he would go on Tabligh. Now people go to Tabligh for like kind of spiritually recharge. For all the days he would go on Tabligh, he would either spend the same amount of time in the Khanqah or in Itikaf to purge the ill effect of mixing with people who are heedless of deen from his heart. He would feel it would irritate him. So if that's the case with people like that, then we don't need to torture ourselves and kill ourselves. If somebody, if the company of somebody is harmful, and it's sufficient to be harmful that you should sit with someone for hours and the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala doesn't come up, or if it comes up, it comes up awkwardly. Those people, it's okay to just meet them briefly, say salam, and then just to get up and like, you know, move on with your business. You don't need to torture yourself and like feel like, oh, I'm abandoning them, or I'm this, I'm that. No. You meet them, you say salam. Meeting with people is first a meeting of the arwah, and then after that it's a meeting of the ajsad. So it's a meeting of the spirits, and then after that it's a meeting of the bodies. So, you know, short meetings, meeting people for a brief amount of time, giving them half an hour, 45 minutes, it's sufficient. So for anyone, it's sufficient. You don't have to spend that much time with people. The only people you should give your time to are the ones that you find in their company there's some help toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to be a jerk about it. You don't have to be arrogant like, oh, I only hang out with spiritual people and you're not helping me go to Allah. No, you should be kind and polite and nice. It's better for them to see 45 minutes of your good akhlaq and then desire more than for them to completely indulge and waste your time in their own. Not you. Neither do you benefit, nor do they benefit from it. You know, so you don't have to be all like, "Oh, I'm waking up for tahajjud, so I'm out of here." Like deuces, you know. Like I'm. You don't have to, don't be like that, because then people will hate you because of deen, and they should hate you for who you are, not because of the wahi of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's, you know. But you don't have to. You don't have to constantly harm yourself with the company of people who are not helping you in getting to Allah Ta'ala. If you get to Jannah first, inshallah, you'll help them yawmul qiyamah. They'll forgive you for having like peaced out of their party early or whatever. That day, many people will forgive you for many things. If you get into Jannah first and you make shafa'ah for somebody, they'll get over a lot of stuff. Trust me. Wala tastafi li nafsika illa man تَزْدَادُ بِهِ يَقِينًا وَقَلِيلٌ مَّنْهُمْ. It says, don't choose for yourself somebody. And this can be a ishara toward companionship and also toward a sheikh. Don't choose for yourself somebody except for the one that, as the time goes on, your yaqeen increases for with them. Don't pick dubious and shady people to take deen from. You don't have to, just because you have a bad feeling about someone doesn't A, mean anything's wrong with them, or B, you have to say something's wrong with them, or you have to tell people, or you have to have a bad opinion of them. Sometimes you see something from somebody. I do like 20 shady things in a day. You know, like you may see something from somebody and be like, this person is not there yet, you know? Or I have a feeling they're not there yet. Even the feelings, I'm probably wrong. That's part of the soul is to say I'm probably wrong and they're mashallah much better than I think they are, and I don't know what, and when they're alone what they do. I may commit sins when I'm alone, but that person may, you know, be a better person when they're in seclusion than when they're in public. That's fine, you do all of that. But if you feel something shady from somebody, you don't have to take your deen from them. And there's a lot of people out there that you may get like a whatever a bad vibe, you don't have to take deen from them. You can respect them, even from amongst the ulama, even from amongst the people of the tariqah, etc., etc. You know, you just have a good opinion of them, make dua for them, and move on. Don't pick somebody for you to take your deen from, except for that person. And this is something, I mean, it's interesting that the sheikh says this because this is something that artists say, that the difference between like a classical, a masterpiece work of art and just something that's decent. Is a decent thing you get bored of after some time. Whereas the masterpiece, the more you scrutinize it, the more you look at it, the more it's detailed, the more times you've seen it, the more time goes by, it gets better and better. That's why I thought it was so beautiful that the Baba in the Qutubiyya Masjid, he said that about the way the dust settles in the artwork. He says it settles like the kuhl in the eyes of a woman, makes her even more beautiful. You know, that meant that what he appreciated, and you could tell from the way he was giving the tour, he appreciated that the masjid was like a work of art. So the person that you take your deen from should be like that. That the more time you spend with them, the more you appreciate the mahasin of that person's hal and the way that they operate. If you have from the beginning, like, oh, it's 95% clear, 5% is a little sh that's, you can just move on. Don't worry about it. You know, you just move on. Don't worry about it. You don't have to call them and ask them their fatwa and their opinion about this and that. And like, you know, you can benefit from whatever. And the thing is, this is an usul. With regards to the tariq, if you don't find somebody who you feel comfortable with like that, he said, "Well, qalilan manhum." He says, as if they don't even exist. How few of them there are, and he says, "Well, huwa ma'dum." He said that from the beginning. He said, as if they don't even exist, as if they're gone. Until and unless you find somebody like that, then you treat a person like your brother. And the adab of treating your brother is what the things that they know better than you. You treat them as your sheikh. And the things that you're not so whatever, you treat them like a brother. You wish the best for them. You make dua for them if they need nasiha. You give them nasiha. Or sometimes we're not even in the position to do that. But at least you know their shortcomings. You don't look at them like a judge who's sending someone to jail, but you look at them as a brother who wishes the best for his brother. That you do whatever you can, whether if even if it's only dua, that Allah Ta'ala help them get over that. But this is another thing in the tariq of people. Oh, khalas, this fulan is my sheikh, and now he's like the only nabi after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I'm going to accept, and everything he does is amazing and wonderful. And if you say anything, shut up, stupid, I hate you. And that's bogus. That's not what any of the mashayikh ever taught. That's just groupism that happens afterward. And that's not, you can't attribute that to any teachings of the deen or of the tasawwuf or anything. وَلَا تَسْتَفِي لِنَفْسِكَ. Don't choose anyone for yourself except for the one that you increase in yaqeen in him, by him. And how few are they? O kalama هذا المعنى. He said something similar to this. He said, I'm quote, basically paraphrasing. وَقَالَ أَيْضًا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He also said, may Allah be pleased with him, مَنْ دَلَكَ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا فَقَدْ غَشَّكَ وَمَنْ دَلَكَ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ فَقَدْ أَتْعَبَكَ وَمَنْ دَلَكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ نَصَحَكَ. He said that whoever points you toward the dunya, that person has cheated you. They're telling you, oh, if you get this house, if you get this car, if you get khalas, you're going to die. We're going to make all of it, and then like two weeks later, you're going to die. Whoever points you toward the dunya like as a source of success and happiness, that person has cheated you. He's like the person in the marketplace who sold you the jalaba for 10 times how much it's worth, you know, because he knows you're a foreigner. That's basically what they're doing. ومن دلك على العمل, and the person who points you toward deeds, that person, all they do is they're tiring you out. And the one who points you toward Allah Ta'ala, that person has been sincere with you. The deeds themselves are not the point of the deen. The point of the deen is to make your relationship with Allah Ta'ala. The deeds are a tool for that. They're not an end unto themselves. وقال أيضا رضي الله عنه اجعل التقوى وطنك ثم لا يضرك مرح النفس ما لم ترضى بالعيب. Make taqwa into your homeland, meaning make it something that's common for you. If you fear Allah Ta'ala in everything, then the marh of your nafs, your nafs is like, you know, I guess, your nafs's own like obstinateness and arrogance and things like that, it won't harm you as long as you're not happy with, you're not pleased with, or okay with a defect in it. One thing is that a person has a defect in their nafs, and the other thing is that they're okay with that. As long as you fear Allah Ta'ala constantly, even the defects of your nafs, inshallah, they won't sink your ship. As long as you don't accept them, people do sins. They have some people. Some sins are very difficult to get rid of. You know, if some sins are very difficult to get rid of. They take a very long time, and some sins people maybe even never get over during their whole life. It's important never to be okay with it. Like, oh, this is just something I do. If Allah Ta'ala is not pleased with it, then it's wrong. As long as you fear Allah Ta'ala constantly. And you never accept as okay your a blemish in the soul, or tusirru ala dhanb, or accept that you should be consistent in committing a particular sin, then inshallah you won't be harmed. وتسقط منه خشية الله بالعذاب or بالأفن بالغيب. And as long as so three things: as long as you don't accept a defect in your nafs, or you're not persistent in committing a particular sin, or the fear of Allah Ta'ala and the ghayb doesn't leave your heart, that you're doing something and you stop fearing Allah Ta'ala because of it. قلتُ وهذه الثلاثة هي أصول العلل والبلايا والآفات. He said these three things, which is being okay with something wrong inside of your nafs, or persistence in a sin without constantly struggling to get rid of it, or stopping the fear that Allah Ta'ala is going to, that the fear is stopping the fear of the punishment of Allah Ta'ala from the ghaib. These three things are he says they're the root of all, the root of every calamity and every tragedy in a person's spiritual life. So, وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ فُقَرَاءَ هَذَا الْعَصْرِ ابْتُلُوا بِخَمْسَةِ أَشْيَاءَ. Inshallah, we'll read that dars next, inshallah. صلى الله تعالى على رسوله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.